Interview. This is a first for us this election cycle, talking with, in a judicial race, Cody Brower is a district judge. You're based in Pocatello, is that right?
Basically. Well, no, I'm actually, my chambers are in Caribou County, so down in Minnesota.
Okay.
By legislative edict, that's where one of the district court judges have to be out of, but I preside over the entire six judicial district.
Okay. All right. And you do have a challenger this year, and that's been another interesting sort of element. We don't often see sort of these judicial challenges, but we've got a couple of them here in East Idaho this year.
Yeah, it's actually quite rare to have a challenge. District court judges can be ran against. So we have magistrate court judges in Idaho as well, and they are just retention elections. And
okay.
So they just have to get 50% and they get to keep their job. But district court judges are the higher constitutional court judge, and so they are consequently elected.
Okay, for those who don't know you, Judge Brower, introduce yourself, where you come from, and kind of what your background is for our audience.
Yeah, so I'm from Bear Lake originally, little town called Liberty. Okay. That's where I grew up. My dad was actually the magistrate court judge down in Bear Lake County. And so I kind of grew up in the courtroom. I remember actually waiting for him and falling asleep in the jury box as a little kid. but after that, after I graduated from high school, I joined the Army National Guard, spent 8 years there. We deployed to Iraq in 2004. And then when I got back, once I graduated from school up at BYU-I, then I went to the University of Denver for law school and became a prosecuting attorney after that. A couple of years after I was a prosecutor, I was appointed as the Oneida County prosecuting attorney. And so that's down in the Mlad area, that county. Yeah. And I was the county attorney there for some time before I was appointed by Governor Little as the district court judge after Judge Brown retired in the 6th Judicial District.
Okay.
All right. Why don't you let our listeners know what your judicial philosophy is as you're reviewing cases, and maybe you can talk a little bit about what types of cases you do and how you choose to rule on those.
Okay, that's a lot to unpack. I can wax a little loquacious, so if you need to interrupt me, please do.
All right. So
judicial philosophy, just generally, when people come in front of me, I want to make sure that they feel like they're heard, that they're treated fairly, and that they're treated with respect. Because a lot of times when people come into the courtroom, that's one of the worst days of their lives. And it's rare that I get a good time, like an adoption or, you know, a wedding.
Yeah.
But, so they should feel like they're heard. And it's important for a judge to come in without preconceived notions of the case or a decision made up. I don't think judges should be legislating from the bench, which means that when they come in there, they should feel like all the facts were heard before a decision was rendered. And even if I decide against them, that they felt like they got a fair shake. And so that's one of the things I think is really important for a judge. The second thing is a judge swears to uphold the Constitution. And so, I mean, you hear life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? And those can be lip service sometimes, but all of those revolve around protections that the Constitution gives us. And so whether it be a criminal defendant, whether it be a person with government overreach, with land use issues, a judge first should be considering how those constitutional rights apply to that person. Now, when it comes to what I consider, for example, I'll just go all out here.
You're good.
Keep going.
You're good.
It's great.
I presided over a lot of criminal cases as a prosecuting attorney. All the way from reviewing murder cases. I did grand theft cases, embezzlement cases, well over $1 million. Trafficking cases, drugs, basically anything you can think of. And a prosecuting attorney and a defense attorney consider a lot of stuff that a judge doesn't. And as a judge, I am directed to consider protection of society, deterrence, and that's both of the criminal defendant and society, rehabilitation, and then, of course, punishment. And so as I get up there, I have to consider all of those things when I'm deciding what's going to happen or what I'm going to decide, you know, a decision I'm going to make for that criminal defendant. And then also prior to that, I'm also meant to consider the constitutionality of different things like evidence, whether evidence should come in or not, whether the officers violated somebody's constitutional rights or not. So that's suppression.
Yeah.
And those type of issues.
One question I have, Judge, and I think this is probably a premier question that a lot of people have when it comes to sentencing sex offenders, specifically child sex offenders. It feels like we have lots of rider programs and that the system has sort of bent over backwards in these cases to keep them out of prison. And I know that's probably not the right phrasing for this, but maybe explain why that is and how what your approach as a judge is, because I think it's much more often than not you look at the sentencing of a child sex offender and it feels like they're getting a lighter sentence than someone should for ruining a child's life.
Right. So as a judge, I am bound by certain ethical rules. And one of those, and of course, it's so that people feel like they're coming in and getting a fair shake, right? So I can't predetermine sentences. So I can never promise this is what I'm going to do. You know, politicians will do that. When I become a, you know, your elected official, this is what I'm going to do. So as a judge, I can't do that. But what I can tell you is what we do consider when it comes to those things and why sometimes those appear to get a light shake, I guess. So like I said, we're considering, protection of society, rehabilitation, deterrence, and punishment. Now, we're also directed to consider protection of society first. And when you're looking at a sex offense case, for example, or any criminal case, when somebody's found guilty, we do what's called a pre-sentence investigation report. And that goes out and they collect all the information about that person, their risk, recidivism rate, and we even do a sex evaluation on them, like a sex offense evaluation. And that's by a psychologist, right?
Yeah.
And then they also determine what the risk of reoffense is. And so as a judge is up there, they're trying to look at all of those factors. Now, in a sex offense, obviously, protection of society is incredibly important. Deterrence becomes incredibly important because this is a very, very serious offense. And we don't want other people doing it. And if they see people getting a rider or probation, it's more likely they're going to do it, right? And then also punishment, very serious. The problem is that when you also send somebody to prison, they inevitably get out. And that's where rehabilitation comes in too as well. So protection of society and rehabilitation. Now, every judge has their own, I guess, ability to have discretion as to what they do. And every judge is going to have a position as to whether they need to be more strict, whether they need to focus on protection of society more. And I do think, just like the statute says, I consider protection of society very highly. When it comes to those, there should be certain offenses that you need to protect people from, which means placing them into prison or whatever it may be. Now, we're also bound a lot by plea agreements, and I'm sure that you hear about those a lot. You know, my dad was a magistrate court judge, and he used to tell me all the time, sometimes the prosecuting attorney has more power than the judge does.
Hmm.
Because they actually decide whether their crime even is brought forward, or they decide...
You can't upgrade.
No, I can't upgrade.
Yeah.
That's right. And I can't stop usually a downgrade. So a lot of times they'll start as sex offenses, and then they'll be reduced down to felony protection of child, which isn't even a sex offense.
Yeah.
So then I can't even... I usually can't even place that person into sex offender treatment or put them on it's because it's not even a sex. Oh, so I can maybe place them into sex offender treatment. I can't put them on the sex registry.
Yeah.
Because that's a decision of the prosecuting attorney. And a lot of the times that's going to also impact the seriousness of the sentence. And that's that can be frustrating sometimes as a judge. Yeah. Actually, quite frustrating.
Yeah.
So for those who have an opportunity to vote for you, why don't you give them your pitch of why you believe you are great as a judge?
Well, first of all, I think I have a lot of the experience required to do this job. First of all, like I said, I have a lot of criminal experience. Now, a district court judge handles the high-end felony cases and the high-end civil cases. A magistrate judge handles everything below $10,000 in civil cases and misdemeanor crimes.
Traffic violations,
right,
things like that.
That kind of stuff, right. And so that's a really important thing as a district court judge, is to have that kind of experience. I spent a lot of time in front of the court, and I was an excellent trial attorney. So I never was afraid to bring a case to trial. And as a prosecuting attorney, that was my philosophy. For example, I never actually reduced sex offenses, hardly ever. I didn't think that that was an appropriate thing. And so I brought those to trial often because I wanted to make sure that somebody was held accountable there. But the good part about that was I was also able to keep on top of the rules of evidence and the criminal rules. Those are things that are important for a court judge. Now, the other thing is, as a county attorney, I was able to deal with a lot of constitutional issues and land use issues because I was actually representing the county there. So planning and zoning, roads, public roads, water. And then I was even able to advise the county as to ADA compliance, employment law. There we go. And any real issues of civil nature that the county dealt with, which is a very wide range of those. So the experience matters. I also believe I have a very good judicial philosophy when it comes to the protection of society, when it comes to specific rehabilitation of certain people. I was a prior drug court judge. I don't know if you know about those type of specialty courts, but they're probably one of the more effective ways we can actually rehabilitate people. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a real big proponent of those as well.
Yeah. We live at 98% of the time, Julie and I are living in this sort of left-right, Republican versus Democrat world. This is a nonpartisan race. But what are the dividing lines in a judicial race? Analogous to left-right politics in a partisan race, what if you're elected, how is that different than if your opponent's elected? What differences do you, what do you bring that's different?
Well, and it's really important that we be nonpartisan, because a Democrat or Republican that comes in front of me is going to get the same exact treatment one way or the other. Now, sometimes our backgrounds can impact our, I guess, perspectives on things like the Constitution or other things. And so I can't say that we don't have our prior experience.
Yeah.
But the way we treat cases, the way we treat people has to be non-bias and fair. Now, I cannot and will not affiliate with one party or the other. I can say that sometimes I have concerns about whether a judge can be nonpartisan or not, whether they have strong past political affiliations or not, or whether they're influenced by other politics. So, for example, my opponent right now just got endorsed by Jim Rupti, who is the second highest Democrat in the state. And so then you have to start wondering what kind of political pressure is that going to be? Whereas I don't have, well, I mean, I was the prior elected prosecuting attorney down in Oneida County. But other than that, I don't have those influences that are going to impact my decisions. And so I think that that's an important thing about myself.
All right. Your website is judgebrower.com. If our listeners would like to find out more about you and your philosophy as well, again, that's judgebrower.com. And Judge Cody Brower, best of luck in the election here in 8 days. And we wish you the best in the rest of your campaign.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.